Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to our 10 Days Weight Loss Challenge. Today, we're going to dive into the benefits of the sun on our overall health. Our expert, Barbara O'Neill, has done extensive research on this topic, and she's going to highlight our body's need for the sun, so let's get started. Did you know that the sun plays a crucial role in maintaining our overall health? It's not just about vitamin D, but also about the other essential nutrients our body needs. Barbara will be sharing some fascinating insights on how the sun can help us lose weight, improve our mood, and even boost our immune system. Remember, it's all about finding the right balance. Too much sun can be harmful, but the right amount can do wonders for our health. Stay tuned for more exciting information on the sun's benefits. Thank you for joining us today. If you found this video helpful, please give it a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more health and wellness tips. Until next time, stay healthy and keep shining.
It's often misunderstood. Hi again from Romania. I'm in the hills of Transylvania. It's very beautiful here. It's one of the most beautiful places that I have been. And as I stand here appreciating the views, appreciating the fresh air, and appreciating the sunshine, and I think about poor old sun, how it's often misunderstood. The sun is not the enemy in the sky, it's the doctor in the sky. We need the sun. And in the early 1900s, about 1920, it was finally acknowledged that rickets was a vitamin D deficiency. Up until then, they didn't quite know why children had rickets. Their bones were all deformed. But these children were living in the streets of London. They hardly got any sun. And so when it was finally acknowledged that rickets was a vitamin D deficiency and that those children needed sun, nurses gave classes to show mothers how to put their children in the sun. You see, when the ultraviolet rays from the sun hit the skin, they convert a form of cholesterol just under the skin to vitamin D. Once again, the importance of cholesterol, once again showing that cholesterol's not the enemy either. There are a lot of myths. If you don't have enough cholesterol, then your body cannot make vitamin D out of the sunshine. And if you're not in the sunshine enough, you're not going to be able to get your vitamin D. And vitamin D is essential for the assimilation and utilization of calcium in the body. Calcium's called the king. Because it's called the king, it's often misunderstood. Calcium supplements are really not very good. They shouldn't be taken because we don't have any place in the body where there's straight calcium. The only time you might find calcium deposits is on the bones in the form of bone spurs, and that's actually not very good. Our bones are not made of calcium. Our bones are made of 12 minerals and 64 trace minerals. And to strengthen our bones, we need those minerals. So where are we going to get those minerals? Well, Dr. Robert Thompson, in his book, The Calcium Lie, he gives a very good explanation on the things I'm talking about. He shows that his belief in the Creator God is sustained by the fact that seawater is a combination of about 92 minerals in perfect proportion. And he claims that the clearest indicator of a Creator God is seawater because of that very fact. And in the war, the Navy, they would transfuse with seawater if one of the Navy men needed a blood transfusion, because very quickly the body can convert that seawater to blood because it is so similar. Good news is we don't have to drink seawater. We can get those minerals by using whole salts like the hand-harvested Celtic salt, the hand-harvested Baja salt. Many countries that I go to, I find that they do have a hand-harvested because it is so similar. Good news is we don't have to drink seawater. We can get those minerals by using whole salts like the the hand-harvested Celtic salt, the hand-harvested Baja salt. Many countries that I go to, I find that they do have a hand-harvested sea salt in the old traditional method, and that hand-harvesting allows the majority of the minerals to be locked up in those crystals. Yes, to get strong bones, we need the Celtic salt. We need minerals from dark green leafy vegetables, and we need the sunshine. Thank you, Dr. Sun. Not only are you hitting my skin and converting a form of cholesterol just under my skin to vitamin D, but my eyes are also absorbing the sun. The only reason I can bear that sun on my eyes is because it's covered by a little bit of cloud. No, we shouldn't look at the sun. Maybe early morning, maybe late afternoon. And those sun's rays go through our eyes, they go through neurochemical pathways, hit the pineal gland, help us to sleep better at night. Also, they boost our serotonin. No, the sun is not the enemy, it is the doctor in the sky.
Is law number two. The sun is not the enemy in the sky. It is the doctor in the sky. And yet how often is it hailed as the enemy? The reason why the sun is so important is because ultraviolet rays from the sun hit the skin and convert a form of cholesterol just under the skin to vitamin D. And vitamin D is being hailed today as the anti-cancer vitamin because of its ability not only to stop cancer cells running, but even convert them back to a normal running cell. That's quite amazing, isn't it?
You know, our eyes are an extension of the brain, and the sun takes the ultraviolet rays.
Sunshine.
The eyes take the ultraviolet rays from the sun through neurochemical pathways into your brain, and it actually, you become smarter, you start to work out mathematical problems
when the sun went down.
All because we've been in the...
And if they did anything, you couldn't do much under candlelight. But insomnia is a huge problem today. Why? Why are people having trouble with sleep? Well, Proverbs 14, verse 6 says, knowledge is easy to him that understands. I want to show you what happens when you sleep. And when you understand what happens when you sleep, you begin to have a knowledge on the important times to sleep and why.
Do you find yourself struggling with restless nights and unsteady mornings? What if a simple, natural solution could revolutionize your sleep? Imagine transforming your nightly rest with just a few minutes of sunlight. That's right. Today, we're uncovering a powerful trick that involves nothing more than stepping outside each morning. This straightforward change could dramatically improve your sleep and boost your overall well-being. Stick with us as we explore how harnessing the power of sunlight can reshape your sleep patterns and transform your days. In this video, we're diving into how sunlight affects your sleep and how you can use this knowledge to your advantage. We'll break down the science, share practical tips, and reveal surprising benefits you might not expect. Whether you're struggling with insomnia or just looking to enhance your sleep quality, we've got actionable insights and expert advice that you can start using today. Let's start with how sunlight influences your sleep. Our bodies have a natural internal clock called the circadian rhythm, which is greatly affected by light exposure. Morning sunlight, particularly the blue light it contains, helps reset this internal clock, making it easier to fall asleep at night and wake up refreshed. Now, why is morning sunlight so crucial? It triggers the release of melatonin, the sleep hormone that regulates your sleep-wake cycle. Getting sunlight early in the day helps your body know when it's time to sleep, leading to better quality rest. But how can you get the most from sunlight? Dr. Barbara O'Neill suggests sitting outside in the morning light for at least 30 seconds with your eyes closed. This helps sunlight reach your retina and signals your body's internal clock to stay in sync. A And don't forget about blue light from screens. Avoiding screens before bedtime prevents disruptions to your circadian rhythm and helps maintain your natural sleep patterns. Sunlight doesn't just improve sleep. It also boosts your mood and cognitive function. Regular sunlight exposure increases serotonin levels, enhancing your overall sense of well-being and mental clarity. Incorporating outdoor activities into your routine can make a big difference. Better sleep and mood also enhance cognitive functions like memory and learning. A well-regulated sleep pattern supported by sunlight keeps your mind sharp and focused. To get started, try these easy steps. Get sunlight early in the morning. Avoid screens before bed and maintain a regular sleep schedule. These simple adjustments can lead to significant improvements in your sleep quality. Let's recap. Morning sunlight helps regulate your internal clock,
process,
improving sleep quality,
sunshine,
mood, and cognitive function.
Is law number two. The sun is not the enemy in the sky. It is the doctor in the sky. And yet how often is it hailed as the enemy? The reason why the sun is so important is because ultraviolet rays from the sun hit the skin and convert a form of cholesterol just under the skin to vitamin D. And vitamin D is being hailed today as the anti-cancer vitamin because of its ability not only to stop cancer cells running, but even convert them back to a normal running cell. That's quite amazing, isn't it? You see, vitamin D not only is hailed as the anti-cancer vitamin, but it is essential for the assimilation of calcium in the body. And calcium has a nickname. He's called the king, because when calcium gets in, all the other minerals are able to get into the cell. And the largest concentration of calcium is found in the bones. We've virtually got two epidemics today. We've got many epidemics, but two I want to speak about now. One is a vitamin D deficiency. And this is in the land of the sun. And the reason there's so much vitamin D deficiency is, number one, people are not getting the sun exposure. And when people put sunscreens on, that stops, yes, the burning rays, but the burning rays are the healing rays. Michael and I had a holiday a few weeks ago in Fiji. We were the only people laying by the pool that weren't covered in sunscreens, and we didn't get burnt. And by the way, we noted some very burnt bodies. Why didn't we get burnt? Because we would lay in the sun on our back for 15 minutes, on our front for 15 minutes, have a swim, dry off, go back to our room. We did that morning and night, and we came back with quite a nice tan, no sunburn. It's just using your common sense. If you have to be out in the sun for a long time, put a big hat on and just cover your skin. What about sunscreens? What's the problem with sunscreens? Sunscreens contain something like, say, zinc oxide, which is not toxic, but it is brought down to nanoparticles, and nanoparticles are barely measurable. And they do that so that it goes into a cream form and it can be nicely smoothed on the skin. But they're finding these nanoparticles in marine life, and they do not know at this stage whether those nanoparticles can get through the blood-brain barrier. Not a lot is known, but it is suggested that one of the contributing factors for the demise of our Great Barrier Reef is the amount of Aussies that are swimming in the water with sunscreens with these nanoparticles in them. If we're wise with our exposure to sun, we do not need to put sunscreens on. One lady said to me, my little girl's at preschool and they will not let her go outside unless she puts sunscreen on. So my suggestion is to get a little tube of sunscreen and empty it, and then get some aloe vera gel and suck up the aloe vera gel into the sunscreen tube and send that with the child. Isn't it lying? No, it is not lying, because aloe vera has a natural sunscreen in it. It's not going to stop you burning if you're out there for hours. And ideally, when your little one is home, she spends quite a bit of time outside. She develops a nice tan. And that's one of the best protections against sunburn, of course, is a tan. And only little by little can you develop this tan. My daughter in America has 5 children. She never puts sunscreen on them. And by the end of summer, they are golden brown. One of the big contributing factors to skin cancer today is vitamin D deficiency. Research is showing that vitamin D deficiency is contributing to skin cancer. On the DNA of the human body, there are 2,500 receptor sites for vitamin D. We cannot heal without vitamin D. We don't need much sun exposure to get all the vitamin D that we need. But you will not get vitamin D unless
the human body
there has 2,500 receptor sites for vitamin D. We cannot heal without vitamin D. We don't need much sun exposure to get all the vitamin D that we need. But you will not get vitamin D unless your skin has no creams and potions on it at all. But by the way, if you have a shower and wash yourself with soap and then lay in the sun, you will get no vitamin D. There must be that light film of natural oil. And if you lay in the sun and then go and have a shower and wash yourself with soap, washing off all those oils, you will not get vitamin D. It takes approximately 2 hours after sun exposure for the vitamin D to be developed in your skin. Vitamin D is stored in your kidney, and then as it is needed, it's taken over to the liver, which releases the vitamin D. Notice what I first said. When the ultraviolet rays from the sun hit the skin, they cause a form of cholesterol just under the skin to be converted into vitamin D. Did you notice the word cholesterol? Another reason why we need to be cautious not to have too low cholesterol levels. Is it the amount of people who are on statin drugs, cholesterol lowering drugs, that is contributing to this vitamin D deficiency? Calcium is stored in the bones. So this is our second epidemic that I'm mentioning in this presentation, which is osteoporosis. Brittle bones. Lack of calcium. Is the lack of calcium because of the lack of vitamin D? You can have calcium in your food, and yet if you're not getting adequate vitamin D, you cannot access that calcium. So it's very important to get the sunshine so that we've got nice, strong bones. Our eyes need sun. We have a book in our library called Better Eyesight Without Glasses by Dr. William Bates. Every library should have this book. It shows you how you can do some simple little exercises to prevent deterioration of eyesight. He actually says in his book that the eyes can't get enough sun treatment. He says if you go out into the sun and you've been in a dark room and it's a little bit glary, he says close your eyes and then tip your head up to the sun and just stay like that for a few minutes and put your head down and open your eyes, and your eyes will be used to the sun. Never should we look at the sun. The eyes tell you that. He also suggests that sometimes we go outside, lift our eyelid, look down, and let the ultraviolet rays from the sun hit the eyeball, the white of the eye. Obviously only for a minute or two at a time. We don't want burnt eyeballs. So let me very quickly say in the next breath, you can overdo the sun, absolutely. And Aussies have been guilty of that over the years. When you overdo the sun, you know it, because it's very painful. You've burnt the skin. That's what damages the skin. Short bursts of sunshine do not damage the skin. In fact, the body deteriorates when it's not getting those short bursts of sunshine, because then it is not getting the vitamin D. Did you know that children suffered and died for 300 years in England before finally in 1921 it was acknowledged that rickets was a vitamin D deficiency? Now, excuse the illustration, I'm not the best drawer, but you'll get what I mean. This is the head, this is the torso. Legs looking like this. I have got a photograph at home in a book called The Healing Sun. It has a photo of children with rickets. I'm not talking about the 18-month-old baby who has a big nappy on and the legs look like that. I'm talking about children 5, 6, 7 years of age. He also showed another in this picture. There were 3 children. This child didn't have rickets. Basically, the legs are like this. And the third child also had rickets, but the legs were more like this. The perfect leg is where the ankles and the calves and the knee all touch when the legs are put together. I'm sure you'd be pleased to see me rubbing that off. I'm not the best drawer. But to give you an illustration, did you know that rickets is returning? You go in any shop mall and look at legs. And you will see rickets is returning because people are not getting into the sunshine. Now, in 1921, when it was finally acknowledged that rickets was a vitamin D deficiency, then women attended classes given by nurses on how to put their babies and their children in the sun. Do they still have those classes? Oh no. One woman told me that she was told not to put her baby in the sun for the first year of life. No, no, no. I know when my babies were little, I used to give them sun kicks. You know, you'd put a little bit of shade from about their chest up and take their nappy off and let them kick in the sun. My babies were as brown as berries. That's a healthy glow. They weren't sunburnt. I was very cautious how little by little I had sun exposure with them. You see, we've almost gone from the one extreme to another extreme. Aussies have been overdoing the sun, now they're underdoing the sun. There's a balance. In the middle, the sun is not the enemy in the sky. It can be overdone. But now, Aussies are underdoing it. So we need that little bit of sun. It was estimated in 1890 that 90% of children living in North London were suffering from rickets. Again, a vitamin D deficiency. Your eyes need sun. About 10 years ago, a group of scientists discovered a receptor site on the eye, on the retina. It was called melanopsin. They gave it the name melanopsin. And melanopsin is an absorber of blue light. And the highest source of blue light is the sunlight. And they found when brains had adequate amount of melanopsin, they were able to solve mathematical problems easier, their tactical reasoning increased, all because of the eye's exposure to the sun. Melanopsin is not involved in sight, and yet it's a receptor site on the retina. You see, our eyes are an extension of our brain, and our brain needs sun. And our brain gets the sun through our eyes. Another reason that we need exposure to eyes for the sake of the brain, and Dr. Neil Nedley found this, he talks about it in his book, Depression: A Way Out. He explains how he found that 80% of depressed people, their circadian rhythm was out. Circadian rhythm, what's circadian rhythm? Circade is Latin for around day. So the circadian rhythm basically is the rhythm of balance in the brain. And it is the night and dark signals that actually bring that balance. And he found 80% of them, their circadian rhythm was out. And his advice to reset the circadian rhythm was to allow the eyes to be exposed to 1 hour of early morning light. He said there is something in that early morning light that when our eyes are exposed to it, it resets the circadian rhythm. Now, doesn't God paint a magnificent picture morning and night? It's almost as if He's done something so that our eyes are drawn to the sun rises and the sun sets. And science now proves the value of this, the value of allowing your eyes to observe the early morning and the early morning light is the most powerful. A little bit also happens in the setting sun. He said that early morning exposure of the eyes resets the circadian rhythm in the brain. Light and dark signals are fed through the optic nerve to a control center in the brain where our body clock is located, and our body clock communicates with the pineal gland. And the pineal gland, it helps us sleep at night. The pineal gland releases a hormone called serotonin. And that's why on a sunny day we feel so good, because our pineal gland is being activated by the sun's rays going through the eyes and making us feel better. They are alarming figures. Is it because Aussies are going to bed too late? Is it because they're not catching that early morning light? Is it because they're not getting enough vitamin D? I don't think it's the only cause, but I think it's definitely a contributing factor in the mental illness that we're seeing. So as you can see by my illustration, we need sun. Our brain needs sun, our eyes need sun, our bones need sun, our skin needs sun. And our bones get our vitamin D from the sun through the skin, and our brain gets the ultraviolet rays through the eyes. So all are important. So the next question I'm often asked is, what about sunglasses? Well, I never say never to sunglasses. If I was going to be snow skiing and we've got white powder, blue sky, strong sun, I'd wear sunglasses because the eyes can burn. And if I was driving in the city with the glare of the other cars, the glare of the cement buildings, I may consider wearing sunglasses. But as a rule, we should not wear sunglasses. If we go out into a very hot sunny day, our eyes are assessing the strength of the sun, the heat of the sun, and it gives a message to our brain. And our brain then shuts up little receptor sites on our skin to prevent us burning too badly. Obviously, overexposure to the sun, nothing's going to prevent burning. But if we go out into the sun and we have sunglasses on, can you see messages are not getting to the brain because of the sunglasses? So a person can burn a lot easier if they've got sunglasses on. Again, I never say never, but our eyes were designed to cope and adjust to the sun. See, we've got amazing eyes. You just have a look at them. They're set in this bony structure. So if anything hits the eye, the bony structure protects it. We've got these eyelashes there that you only have to get a little bit close and the eyelashes start to close. That protects things going into the eye. But not only that, in the eye, it's surrounded with a lot of a mucus, so that if anything does get in, it is trapped in the mucus. But something else is amazing, and that is that anything that touches the eyeball, in the majority of cases, it ricochets off. And this happened recently. My daughter lives in America, and the little boy across the road had a little BB gun. It has little pellets, and he was trying to shoot flies, apparently, and his little sister got in the way. Do you know that little bullet, a little pellet, it went through her eyelid, hit the eyeball and ricocheted back off again, and it came out through the hole that it had made when it went through the eyelid. They of course took it to the doctor and they assessed the eye, they did a lot of tests and they said, it's a little bruise, she's got to lie down for a few days and she will totally recover. So what an amazing eye we have. It's a very important part of the body, and people don't realize that it is connected to the brain, and the brain gets many substances, messages, and absolutely ultraviolet rays are important for proper brain function, and they come in through the eyes. That's why if you wear glasses, you should spend some time every day not wearing your glasses. Again, I never suggest you look at the sun, but just being outside, the ultraviolet rays from the sun are going in through the eyes and giving messages of many sorts to the brain. When you get those messages through the eyes to the brain, you sleep better at night. Not only do you sleep better at night, but you also have better brain function in many areas, as I have just touched. But very important that the eyes have rest. When do the eyes rest? Well, in our next lecture, I'm going to show you that the eyes must rest between certain hours in the night. We've got daylight saving at the moment, so those hours are between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. every night. One of the many reasons eyes are deteriorating today is because they're not getting the proper rest. We need to be closing our eyes and going to sleep every night. And there is a price to pay for our eyes
experiencing flashing lights, moving things at a time when they should be sleeping. It's quite alarming how many people are wearing glasses today, isn't it? And it's very alarming how many children are wearing glasses. I mentioned eyes being exposed or overexposed to small screens.
So this is about 15 years ago, and he was about 90 then, so maybe he's not with us. But he said something to her. She was complaining about her lack of eyesight. He said, "We need to spend more time gazing at the mountains." I love that saying. We need to spend more time gazing at the mountains. So if you have a job where you're at the computer a lot, very important if even hourly you go outside and gaze at the mountains and you say, "Barbara, all I've got is high rise." Well, gaze at the clouds. But get those eyes balanced in the amount of short things they're looking at and the amount of wide things they're looking at. It's reviving to stand outside and gaze in the distance. If there are no trees, if there's no water, if there's no sea, then maybe it's the clouds. Just watch the movement of the clouds. And of course, all through life, there is always movement. The eyes need exercise. So exercising the eyes means gazing at the mountains. And forgive me as I give this maybe silly illustration of how you can strengthen your eyes. So you turn one way on one foot and you focus on one point. And then you turn another way and you focus on another point, standing on one leg. Blur, 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 gazing focus. Blur, 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 gazing focus. This is one of the exercises that Dr. William Bates gives you in his book, Better Eyesight Without Glasses. So a very simple exercise. And another thing I advise is not wearing the glasses a lot. I do have glasses. They're only a 1.550 magnification, and I use them when I'm reading small print, maybe in the morning or at night. But ideally, if I have small print I want to read, I'll go to the sun, or I'll get a light and target it on there. And in that way, you can strengthen your eyes. Dr. William Bates says in his books, the only time our eyes really start to get weary and deteriorate is eye strain when you're tired. And this explains what I said to you previously. The eyes are extension of the brain. So when the brain is weary, when the brain is tired, and you press and push the eyes and strain them, that's what wearies the eyes. Eye strain when you are not tired. Eye strain when your brain has been well slept and your eyes well slept, then your eyes are strengthened. So they're simple things to remember. Yes, I have my glasses in my bag if I need them. But I will always go to the sunshine, because sunshine straight on small print, you can see it quite well. And the most important information on many products is in the small print, isn't it? You can't see it. I was in the supermarket one day and there was a lady in the aisle and she had a wire around her neck and the biggest magnifying glass I'd ever seen. And she was reading all the small print. It's like on, you know, your V drinks, your energy drinks, Red Bulls, Mother. In the small print it says that one should not drink more than two in a 24-hour period, but most people that drink it don't even know that, because you can't even see it because you can't read it. So eyes can be strengthened and eyes can be weakened. Remember, they need to sleep at night. They also need to be exercised, and you can exercise it by the little simple one I just gave you, but also gazing at the big things, gazing wide at the mountains. Get the children to count how many clouds, how many birds they see, but get those eyes going around. But also the eyes need you to be well hydrated, as the brain needs well hydration, and we're going to be looking at that in more detail later. Your bones need hydration, your skin needs hydration. Not only do you need the good fats and you need to make sure that your cholesterol levels are nice and high to access your vitamin D, but your skin dries out and you don't have that moisture in the skin that the sun needs to convert, or to touch that cholesterol to convert it to vitamin D. Water loss in a day is basically this. Via the kidneys, we have a 1.5 litre loss. I think on a day like today, where it's been very hot under these hot lights, I think I'm drinking easily 3 litres of water a day. Your skin has approximately a 0.5 of a litre loss. Via your colon, approximately a 0.3 of a litre loss. And via your lungs, there is approximately a 0.2 of a litre loss. That's a 2.5 litre loss in a 24-hour period. Again, that can greatly change. On a very hot day, it changes. We need to be taking at least 2 litres of water a day for proper eye function, for proper brain function, for proper bone function, and for proper skin function.
The other half a litre can come in via herb teas, can come in via maybe the fruits that you're eating, maybe the salads that you're eating. So the water is essential. In a later lecture, I will be defining that in a little bit more detail. So let's make a list.